for many years and considered to be just one of the greatest coaches. So passionate about the game, loved to win so much that one time a young man on the opposing team intercepted a pass, and Woody Hayes was so frustrated he went and socked the kid. You're not supposed to do that. But as he was laying on his deathbed, a journalist called Bob Green went and sat with him to just get kind of his last drawing breaths of wisdom. And as he sat there, he asked him, he says, well, I'll quote it to you. He said, is there anything as important as winning? Woody Hayes said, yes. Quote, the important thing is not always to win. The important thing is always have hope. We can't live without hope. People commit suicide because they have no hope. You know, we ask our questions when we lose someone that we love or someone that we know. What, you know, what it could possibly have been? What could have possibly have happened? What could be so big that they would take their life? It's not what has happened or what they have. It's what they don't have that causes them to take their life. They don't have hope. You can live without food for several days. You can live without water for a few days. You can't live a second without hope. And many times, folks, we, even those who know God and have given their lives over to Jesus, we try to hope like the world hopes. Let me just sort of give you a definition out of some other people's words of what hope is. Within this world, Emily Dickinson, the great author, said, hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. In other words, it's a song. Dr. Carl Menninger says, hope is an adventure, a going forward, a confident search for a rewarding life. To them, it's a grasping. The essence of hope in this world is believing the dream is possible or trusting in one's own ability to make something happen. In other words, I know I can do it. I can do it. Or I just believe it's going to happen because I want to believe it's going to happen. And so therefore, that's the hope that I'm going to hang on to. Can I tell you today, that is a fleeting hope. The hope that the world reaches out and takes hold of, whether it's in themselves, the strength that they can come up with, or just a blind hope that says, I want it to happen, so it needs to happen. There's trouble in this world. And let me tell you something, the trouble in this world is bigger than all your positive confession can overcome. You need more than what you can do to have real hope. Young people whose whole life is before them, they have an open-ended possibility, an open-ended dream, are ending their lives by the hundreds all over this country because they have no hope. See, young folks and older, we need to realize that when we trade in a relationship with God for the kingdoms of ourselves and the kingdoms of this world, the stuff of this world, when we trade it off because of its beauty or its desire or its design, when we trade off a relationship with God for the stuff of this world, we are trading off real hope for something that's fake. the drug addict who, as they begin, gets the high off of the drug and they think nothing can compare to this. But it's not long before the high goes down. And nothing but another fix, another high, or those that get theirs out of a glass, or sexual deviancy. All of those things, they're temporal. They only last for a few moments. If your hope gets set in those things that are of this world, they're going to disappoint you, and the disappointment will be overwhelming. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To the believer, hope is different. Let me give you a bit of a description here. Because you see, hope is, real hope, is one of the distinguishing characteristics of Christianity. And it is the one thing in your life and my life, according to the Word of God, that will draw others to Christ. Peter says it this way: always be prepared to give an answer. Of those who ask you the reason of the hope that is within you. They won't know to ask you about the relationship that you have with Jesus. They won't know about the love that would flow from Him to you. They won't know about forgiveness. But when they see hope in you, a hope that is not diminished by circumstances or pains, they'll say, "What's going on inside of you? You got to tell me what is in you that's different than what's in me." It's hope. Hope. 1 Corinthians 13, as you come to the end of that precious chapter, it closes out in this way: "Now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." What is he saying there? He is actually saying that in this world, faith and hope are active. Did you know there's a day where we're not going to need any hope any longer? Hallelujah. The only of three, of those three, faith, hope, and love, the only one of those three that is going to be eternal and go with us into heaven is love. We are going to step in to the love of God and dwell in it for all of eternity. But as soon as we leave these bodies in this world, we will not need hope ever again. Because we will have reality of every desire that we've ever known. You see, that's the difference. You and I are hoping unto a day where we will be translated, we will be raptured, we will be resurrected into the presence of the Lord. And in that time, you won't need hope anymore. You won't need faith anymore, because faith will become sight. And hope, which is all about future, will become your new reality. Hallelujah. So the hope that is built in the one who is hope, God, is a hope that truly is eternal. But one of these days, we'll need it no longer. In other words, we're not going to sit up there in heaven and hope for a better day. We're not going to sit up there in heaven and hope that we'll have enough money to pay the next bill. I don't know. Does anybody like that? I mean, that's pretty cool with me. You know, Dale, you won't even have to worry about a job up there. Praise God. You won't have to sit and wonder, are they going to call me about that job that I'm totally qualified for and they're just messing around with? Because we will be in His presence and everything we have and desire will be about us. But today, we desperately need hope. I want to deal with two questions this morning. The first is, what is hope? And in order to really understand it, we've got to look at the other side of that, of what it's not. And then we'll close out here and look at what it does in our lives. Okay? You say, well, that's three things. No, it's only two, because the first one, I'm going to show you both sides to gain understanding. Let's start there. Hope, what it is and what it is not. Hope is to anticipate with confident expectation. To anticipate with confident expectation. Anticipate is future. You will not find hope in the past. You think about this. It does you absolutely no good to hope over things that have already been done. I hope that my life was different. This doesn't work. I hope that my life will be different. Future. With me? Hope is always present tense, future projected. Hope is what I have today about tomorrow. Are you with me? You and I have absolutely no bearing on what's going to happen tomorrow. We cannot even change what's going to happen an hour from now. Amen? So for you and I to start building hope on what we're going to be able to do an hour from now is really pretty flimsy. That's the reason why the Word of God says that the manner in which God's people actually say it, if God wills, if God so desires, then this will happen and that will happen. Because we have no ability to be able to change our future. And really very little in being able to affect our future. So how do you hope in your future? You hope in it through the Lord, who knows the end in the beginning. When I set my hope in the Lord, what happens? I am hoping in what I know Him to be who He is in my life and circumstance. What we were just singing about. He's going to come through. Always. Always. That anticipation, that confident expectation that God is going to do what He said He would do. Anybody live there? How many believers are in the house this morning? Let me see. See, this is ours. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you and I confess our sins and give our lives over to Christ, something changes in our hope life. He says, and this is the truly Christian part, our hope comes from and stands in witness to our relationship with God. In other words, all His promises, His word, His love, His person, all of it is summed up in our hope. To see a Christian, someone who professes Christ, who has no hope, they do not know what their Christian experience is all about. I don't say that critically, if that's you there this morning, but you need to realize who you are. Paul says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says, for me to live is Christ. In Him I live and move and have my being, he says. That means that all of my hope is in who he is, not in who I am. You see, too many times, believers, we are acting as the world who is, they're working out a fantasy, a dream, or they are working on their own ability. Well, I'm certain that I can do this with my intellect and my abilities. I can make this thing happen. Well, you don't know what tomorrow may hold. But on the other hand, if as a believer you put your trust, you put your hope, you put your designs into God, he does know what's going to happen tomorrow. And he will order your steps to make it right. Oh, and he says here, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. You might think, well, joy and peace, those are separate from hope. Oh, my friend. Joy and peace flow from hope. The emotion of confidence and assurance, which is joy, is the very essence of hope. When I can face a circumstance that otherwise would just tear me down and crush me, and I can face it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can see that in the end, I can't see exactly how, but I can see in the end that God's going to bring me through always. He's always going to come through for me in that circumstance. It gives me hope, and I have joy. You see, at best, without the Lord, all you get is some happy. Have you come to an understanding of the difference between a happy and joy? Happiness is built on a circumstance, a feeling. Oh, I'm so happy today. Why are you happy? Well, because the sun is shining and I'm with good people and happy, 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 happy. But what about if it's raining? What if everybody has turned against you and doesn't like you anymore? Happens sometimes. What if your relationships have fallen apart? What if those kids that you brought into the world turn around and say, I don't like you? It's hard to find happy. But you can have joy in the midst of all the troubles of this world. Are you with me? You see, joy comes out of that confident expectation that God is in control. And he is able to do exceeding and abundantly more than I could even ask or think. There could be an amen in there. I know you're thinking about it. You see, hope sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. Now, let me tell you quickly what hope is not, because it helps us to understand what hope is. Hope is not hopelessness. Duh. Hopelessness is desperate, despairing, despondent, impossible. Desperate, giving no ground for hope, despairing based on circumstances, having no expectation of good or success. Despondent means discouraged, depressed, deep dejection. And impossible, of course, means incapable of solution, management, or accomplishment. Those things are all the opposite of what hope is. Now, I realize, and I'm going to preface this when I want to make a statement to you. I realize that there are physiological maladies that cause us to enter depression. But I also know that there are many, many individuals who proclaim the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, who take themselves into depression because they refuse the hope that has been provided by the sacrifice of Jesus. If you start thinking that you can fix your life on your own, and that you can tame life circumstances on your own, or you can make the difference in your relationships on your own, look out, because you will be headed toward hopelessness, despondency, depression. But on the other hand, if you give up and get on your face and begin to call out to the God of hope, who gives joy and peace. You know, when you feel yourself, believer, when you feel yourself becoming depressed and affected by the circumstances around you, you know, the weather closes in on you, circumstances begin to close in on you. You and I, we have a place that we can go for those things. We can get on our faces before God. We can begin to cry out, may the God of hope fill my heart and my mind with joy and peace. Come on, church, it's almost over. Come on, just get with me for just a moment here. About 10 more minutes and we'll be done. We'll go eat. It'll go quicker if you participate. You see, we've got to learn, if we're going to move forward in this thing, we've got to learn to identify the signs of opposite behavior from what God has ordained for our lives. When we start becoming despondent over circumstances, when we start despairing, we start being discouraged and distressed and depressed, we got to realize, wait a minute. That's the opposite of everything that God wants me to be. Something's wrong here. I'm depending upon myself. I'm depending upon my own dream here. I need to get on my face before God and let Him bring hope into my life, because I need a hope. A real hope. And see, you know, the proof often doesn't show until the trouble comes. You can build your house, Jesus said, upon sand, and it looked like every other house. It's not until the winds begin to blow and the storm begins to rage, and then the proof of the foundation of that house begins to show. What is the foundation of your life? Where is your hope? Is it personally manufactured, or is it the hope of God? Again, the proof comes in the struggle. I give up. Why? Why? Because you're trying to do it yourself? Because you think you are the answer? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not through my ability, not through my capability, not through my human inventions, not through the capability of others that I might join forces with, but through Christ Jesus, who is the giver of hope, the one who sees the end in the beginning. He's the one that can bring me through. And by the way, in the process of it, if I'm leaning into His everlasting arms, I'll be filled with joy and peace. You know, that word peace there is rest in struggle. Rest in the midst of struggle. You know, where people turn and they go, what in the world? I know what you're going through in your life. How in the world are you making it? I have a hope. And my hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Quickly, hope, what it does. A joy beyond happy. Father in heaven, right now, help us Because I sense, God, that the enemy's in this room trying to steal some seed. Holy Spirit, come. Right now, just move upon us and protect the soil of our hearts. God, because there are people in this room that are going through great trouble, great stress and difficulty in their lives. They've been trying to manage it on their own, and you're wanting to break them free today. I pray right now for the power of your Spirit to fill this room and possess our minds and hearts for the next moments, that we can gain this word of hope. Thank you, Jesus. Happy is an emotion of the moment based on circumstances. Let me say that again. Happy is the emotion of the moment based on circumstances. Joy is the inner reality of confidence and assurance. Joy is what God wants to give us. Do you realize that you can have joy and not necessarily be happy? We come under the opinion that because of our, forgive this, but our selfish desires, we come under the impression that God, if he's really God, he's going to make us happy all the time. Church, do you realize that's like saying it's always going to sunshine and never rain? How many realize that it's going to rain once in a while? The temperature may even drop and that rain freeze, make everything a mess. There are going to be bad days in your life. Hello? There are going to be difficult times. There are going to be circumstances that come along that you don't like or enjoy. Even as a believer, those things are coming if they haven't already come, and I'm introducing you to them. It's going to be a reality. In this world, you will have. There will be troubles. I'd love to tell you this morning, if you're a Christian, that you'll never get sick again. But I'd be lying to you. I'd love to tell you that as a Christian, you will never, the rest of your life, ever have any kind of financial difficulties. But I would be lying to you. So if you're depending upon happiness as a dictate of whether or not you're going to serve God, I can tell you right now, you're all done. Because more than likely before this day is over, something will take place that you will not be happy about. Even right here in the church. I'll do something differently than what's been done in the past. Your happiness will fly out the window. But I'm talking to you this morning about something deeper than all of that. I'm talking about a joy that's based in confident expectation that says, my God has it all under control. I don't know what's going to happen in this. I don't know what I'm going to do in this. I don't enjoy what is happening in my life. You see, this is the reason why I really reacted to the whole positive confession thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's much better to speak positive than it is negative. It's just one of the things is we'd all rather hear it. Right? I'd rather hear somebody speak positive than negative. Whew. Hope changes the way you speak when you're going through the stuff. Somebody comes up, how you doing? Oh, let me tell you about it. And here we go. How many been there? To somebody else, not yourself, but you know. What if you get it seated inside of you, this hope that's come from God, this God of hope who brings us joy and peace and gives us rest in the midst of our circumstance? What does it sound like when out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak? It sounds like this. Oh, God's going to do something in my life. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do, but God is going to do something in my circumstance. So you may not say it in that way. You know, somebody says, how you doing? You say, I'm doing great. Now, come on, I know you're going through some stuff, but I'm doing great. Because you see, my life isn't standing on stuff. My life is standing on the rock. My life is built upon hope. My life is in the Lord Jesus. And nothing can move me off of that. I have a hope. And see, that's the reason why I sing that song. I'm determined to be invincible. Because of me? Absolutely not. But because of him. I stood in the back of the sanctuary for over 10 years, getting ready to go up onto the platform to preach. And I stood in the back of the sanctuary because I was so dizzy, I had to stand and hold onto the wall. I would walk up the edge of the sanctuary with my arm touching the wall so that I wouldn't fall over. Get up to the sanctuary and grab a hold of the podium and hang on to it until I get to preaching, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit begin to rise up within me. And then I could forget about all the stuff that was going on in my body, and the Lord and I began to do business. Hello. You know what that says to me? Oh, I could tell you of countless individuals. I mean, I had prayer warriors that were praying for me. Oh, praying down heaven that my circumstance was change. My doctor said to me, he said, Bill, whenever you want to, I'll sign the papers and you can go on total disability. I said, hold on a minute. God's not done with me yet. I'm telling you this morning, God's not done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. Stop looking for your hope in what you can do and how and your feelings of how you feel. Look for your hope in the one who is real hope. Powerful hope. Peace that passes all what? Understanding. It means, where's this coming from? Why do I feel good when I should feel so bad? Why do I think my future looks bright when everybody else around me thinks it looks dismal? Because of the hope of God. Now, one more piece of this, and then I'll let you go. And that is that this character, this hope produces character. I'm not going to, there's good passages on this, and I was going to dance here for a while, but I don't have time, so you just have to trust me. Go looking for it. You'll find it. Good passages that you persevere, and what comes out of it is hope. But Romans 15:13 says that you may overflow with hope. This hope is not something that we add to our lives as believers. It literally becomes who we are as believers. This hope does not stay within us as believers, but he says it overflows to everyone that we meet. Now, let me close this by telling you something that happened. My study time for Sunday morning message, among others, the Lord usually has already planted the seed in me, and so I'm living it throughout the week. But I sat down on Thursday morning to put things down on paper and just to concentrate on Thursday. I want it done on Thursday so that I can pray for it on Friday and Saturday, okay? So that's just how this is done. But on Thursday morning, I pull out of my subdivision, and I'm bebopping toward the church, you know, flying up the hill. And it just sort of clicks in my mind that I just saw a car sitting beside the highway. And I look in my rearview mirror, and there is a car sitting there and a woman with her face buried on the top of it. And I'm zipping. And the Lord just very gently spoke to my heart, her problem's your problem. Of course, I told the Lord I was going to study His Word, prepare to preach, need to get to the church, get started. If I go back, there could be lots of time involved. I talk to him that way. You probably don't, but it just happens. I told him the reasons why it shouldn't be. And if you've been down in those neck of the woods down there, you will know you have to go all the way up to the Elitic exit and then turn and come back. And I thought, well, you know what? By the time I get up there and all the way back, one of those 10,000 state troopers that are there on 37 will have pulled in behind her and helped her out. And you know, the Holy Spirit only had one thing to say to me. Her problem is your problem. So I make my U-turn and I go down, and then I couldn't even make it easy. I had to go past her and then make another one and come all the way back. And she's still there and nobody's helping her. And she's still got her head leaning against the car. And I pull up behind, and it wasn't just her. It was her daughter and her granddaughter were there. And I said, can I be of help to you? And she said, I don't know what you can do. My left front tire blew out. I have no spare tire and no jack. Tell you the truth, I didn't know what I could do. But I said, come on, get in the car, and we'll head up to Big O Tire and see what they can do. They couldn't be of any help. Totally useless. So, I mean, you know, I'm not praying out loud, but I'm saying, okay, Lord, what good can come out of this whole thing? All the time she's calling people and everything like this. And so she found somebody with a jack. And so she says to me, you know, I've got somebody who will come with a jack. But I have no money. And I have no spare tire. I said, well, let's just go into Walmart and let's see what they might have. So she and I went in there and they told us the price of a tire. And she said, well, if you'll bring it up here, then we can fix the tire. So now she knows where the tire's at and she has a jack coming to her car, but two things didn't meet. And the Lord spoke to my heart one more time, her problem is your problem. So I bought a tire. You know, that didn't have a whole lot of worth until we got back in the car and I went back to her car. And when she got out of my car, she was beaming all over herself. Her daughter and grandchild was in the back seat, and she trotted from my car up to the car window to tell her daughter that the problem was solved. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. Hope overflows. Overflows. You see, I had the power. I had the resources because of the blessings of God upon my life. I had the power to be able to give hope. All that I told her over and over again is God loves you. God's aware of your circumstance. Every time she would present another piece of it, that's all that was in my mouth. That was all that was in my heart to tell her was God knows you. I didn't go into the fact that God stopped me on the highway and told me to turn around. Inconvenience and all this kind of stuff and make her feel bad that I had done. No, because that's between he and I. What am I saying to you this morning? Because see, there's no pat on the back for this. There's none. because all the resources that I have come from Him. I'm standing here this morning because of His touch in my body, His touch in my life. Otherwise, I'd be someplace sitting in a chair on disability because of God, who has the end and the beginning. He knows the circumstances. So I'm here. Amazed. When are you going to be amazed, church? At the stuff, at the provisions, at the blessings that you have in your life. And then be hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You and I have the power in our lives to bring God's hope into other people. They may never see it because in their circumstance, in their ability, they are hopeless. This woman was face in hands, leaning on upon her car. She had no solution. And we're running into people that are that way every single day of our lives. And what do we have? We've got a hope. His name is Jesus. Don't you dare try to just jump in and fix everybody's circumstances so that maybe they would hope in you. Just begin to listen to the God of all hope and let the hope begin to overflow and just run over. He blesses you. You bless somebody else in His name. Be ready always to give reason of the hope that is within you. And that won't just be verbally. That may just be buying a tire on a Thursday morning. I got more out of that than she did. She got a tire and a little bit of hope. I got a sermon. Stand with me. Gracious God. Gracious God, help us to realize who we are and what we have in You. There are believers in this room who are trading Your hope for hopelessness. They're trying to work out their circumstances. They're trying to find their own joy, their own peace. They're looking for happiness when they should be looking for joy. God, help us this morning to hear the truth of Your word. You are the God of hope, who will fill us with all joy and peace. You will allow hope to overflow from our lives. You'll fill us so full of hope that it will just bubble over as You bless others around us with that hope. I'm praying this morning, God, for the hopeless in this room. For those who are depressed, despondent, distressed. I pray right now, God, that they would realize that You have it all under control. Help us this morning, God. Help us this morning to let go of what we can do and begin to hope in You. To set our lives down upon the rock instead upon shifting sands of our own abilities. I pray this morning for those that are listening by the internet, who may be just locked into their room and into their circumstance and feel that there is no reason to go on. But they have come to this message by the divine direction. May they know there's hope in Jesus. You, Lord Jesus, said if we would confess our sins, You would forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's only the beginning. You will come into our lives and give us peace and joy and hope. Let hope flow right now. In this sanctuary, in those rooms, in faraway places, let hope come forth in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, no matter what your circumstance is, and it's kind of getting the best of you, you're struggling with your circumstance, can I invite you to come to this altar? There will be somebody who will come and meet you here, and they will pray with you, not as one who has no trouble in their life, but another believer who will stand with you and believe with you that the God of all hope will fill your heart and mind with joy and peace. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, I invite you to come. Give God a chance to be your hope, your joy, and your peace.